The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. Today's account from Luke takes place in Jericho. Jericho was an important city. It was a thriving metropolis. It was on the two roads that were on their that passed through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. So if anyone was traversing on the way to Jerusalem, they'd have to go through there. Jesus apparently was not intending to stay in Jericho, although it was an important city. We see from much of Jesus' ministry that he seemed to avoid the metropolitan areas and spend most of his time teaching in the countryside and in the villages. Jericho was an important city, and it was a wealthy city. And in it is a man who wants to see Jesus. Now, Jesus was passing through Jericho, perhaps with a lot of other people. This was preceding Passover, so pilgrims were coming to Jerusalem, and some scholars say there may have been as many as 2 to 3 million who would gather in Jerusalem and in the environs around it for Passover. And of course, Jesus' ministry had grown, and more people were gathering around him and following him. And so it's not surprising that there is a great deal of commotion as Jesus is coming to Jericho, because his reputation has gone before him. In this town is a man named Zacchaeus who wants to see Jesus. Now, it's not clear from the text why he wants to see Jesus, but we do get a glimpse that it's more than just getting a glimpse of the teacher. The text says that he was trying to see who Jesus was. There was something inside Zacchaeus that was yearning to understand who this teacher really is, to want to really see him, not just get a glimpse. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he said, "Come down out of that tree." Now, you can imagine how stupid Zacchaeus looked. He was a rich man. He had all kinds of fine clothing on, and there he was, perched in a tree over the crowd. It's no wonder that Jesus saw him. Now, he was a rich man, and we should stop for a moment and think about that. And he was a tax collector. Tax collectors had a system worked out with Rome so that the chief tax collector would negotiate with Rome for a rate that the people would be taxed. And then anything above that rate, they would pocket. So you can imagine how bad it may have become in some cases where tax collectors were asking a lot from the people and giving Rome just that one bit of that percentage. So tax collectors were hated. He probably didn't collect taxes himself, but rather had people working for him who would do the assessments or who would take care of the tolls. But Zacchaeus was rich. He was making a lot of money as a tax collector. So here is this rich man in a tree, as Jesus is passing by. And Jesus looks up and he calls him by name and says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to be at your house today." The crowd, of course, grumbles. And we've heard about grumbling before. Usually it's with reference to the scribes and the Pharisees. They always grumble when Jesus reaches out to those who are lost or who those who are on the fringe of society or maybe unclean. Why would Jesus do such a thing? He was an offense to those who were really religious. And now this crowd, this large crowd, all of them grumbling. Perhaps even the disciples are grumbling. And they're grumbling because Jesus once again is going to sit at table with someone they consider to be defiled, someone who is really a no good person. No one of any stature in the community, in the Jewish community, would eat with a tax collector. One aspect, I think, of this gospel is to see that over and over again, Jesus reaches out to the lost. And even though Zacchaeus was a rich man and was probably well known in the city, I doubt that he had many friends. In many ways, Zacchaeus was lost. I think, too, that we need to remember that Luke presents this picture of the good shepherd who is looking for that lost sheep. And over again, Jesus reaches out to the lost, the last, and the least. That is his ministry. Always looking for those who have seemed to have been cast aside by society. Now, it's precisely at this point where the crowd is grumbling that Zacchaeus speaks up. And we find out that something has happened to Zacchaeus, something that's very important. Zacchaeus exclaims, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And then Jesus responds, today, salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Zacchaeus' life had been transformed. He's willing to go beyond the most strict demands of the law. He is going to give half of everything he owns to the poor. And the law demands that if someone was defrauded, that person should be repaid two times. And Zacchaeus says, "I will repay four times." Zacchaeus has had a change of heart. Now, it's interesting to me that we don't see Zacchaeus changing occupations. But he does have a change of heart. And I think that tells us something about salvation. You know, once we have this experience, whatever it might be, that draws us closer to God, and when our lives seem to be turned upside down and we are in some way transformed, we are different than we were before, whatever it was that happened, that doesn't mean that we are perfect, and it doesn't mean that we will not sin. It simply means that we were lost and have been found. Zacchaeus was lost, and he had been found. And out of that experience of being found comes this generosity, this change of heart that transforms him. Now, I think there's a real possibility that this story of Zacchaeus, which appears only in Luke, might be put there as an answer to what we hear in the encounter between Jesus and the rich ruler. And I think many of you will recall this story about Jesus and the rich ruler. The rich ruler comes to him and says, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus recounts the importance of the law. And the rich ruler says, "But I have done all of that." He is absolutely so precise in keeping the law. He believes he's done everything necessary for eternal life. And then Jesus says to him, "One thing remains for you to do. Sell everything you possess and give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." Now, it says that when the man heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was exceedingly wealthy. He had a lot to let go of. And then the disciples, hearing this story, say this: who then can be saved? Now, it seems that the story about Zacchaeus is an answer to that question. And what Jesus seems to be saying, someone like Zacchaeus can be saved. Zacchaeus is also a rich man. But Zacchaeus has been transformed. His life has been changed. And I think if we look at the difference between these two rich men, we can see some things that will enlighten us about salvation. The one is seeking to do everything necessary according to his religion in order to be acceptable to God. But that is over here. And in this part of his life, he seems to be ignoring what God is calling him to day after day after day in the way that he lives out his life. Rather than sharing of that wealth, he's holding on to all of it, but he's keeping the law. And it's almost like there's a bargain with God. If I keep the law, you have to let me in. You have to ensure I have eternal life. And then Jesus says there's something more. Now, Zacchaeus is a sinner. He is not righteous as the rich ruler seemed to be. He hadn't been keeping the law, but his heart was transformed. Zacchaeus was changed. And out of that transformation comes tremendous generosity, enormous generosity, giving to the poor and restoring to those that he had taken money from more than they could possibly imagine. So I believe that that's one aspect of this. It's important for us to see that it isn't about being wealthy and how hard it is as a wealthy person in order to have salvation. It's about our hearts. I think it was St. Augustine who said that he feared that Jesus may pass and may not come back. What a strange saying, I thought, when I first read that. But I think perhaps Zacchaeus had that feeling when he was hoping to see Jesus. Perhaps he would pass and never come back. This is the one chance that he had. God's grace was there. He needed to be attentive to the possibilities that could come from that. Now, I believe there are a couple of things that are important to see in this about our relationship to God and how we might understand salvation. The first is that Zacchaeus, I believe, thinks that he is the actor in this whole story. He's the one who is going out of his way to climb a tree in all of his finery, look foolish, in order to see Jesus. But Jesus is the one who sees him and calls him by name. I think we need to remember that no matter how much we are seeking God, God is seeking us even more fervently and with more passion. God wants a relationship with each of us. And God seeks us out. And sometimes we think, even when the event is over, we think that we did it. But it is God who has found us who have been lost. The second thing is, I think we need to understand our salvation, our healing, another way of saying that, as a process. It often does spring from a single event, something that happens that we, for some reason, have a completely different understanding of who we are in the presence of God and in our community. But it does not end there. The Benedictines, I think, have it right when they really pray for a turning every day, for every day to be an opportunity for repentance and for a new awareness of our relationship with God. And then finally, I think it's important for us to understand that in the first century, when a person was sick, the healing that took place was the restoration to the community as well as physical healing. And in a real sense, this is a healing story because Zacchaeus has been ostracized by his community. Here he is, a Jew who is not welcomed by any of them and is seen as an outcast. And what Jesus does in this very brief story is heal Zacchaeus. He restores Zacchaeus to the community. But he also heals the community because they have been restored with one of their own. I think it's important for us to sometimes recapture that idea of salvation. The idea that it's about healing. And it's about healing relationships, especially our relationship with God, but also our relationship with one another. And so today, as we think about Zacchaeus, let us wonder, who is it that I need to be reconciled with? Who is it that we as a community need to reconcile and bring back to the community? And where have I not been attentive to God's grace? Where has Jesus passed by and I haven't noticed? Be attentive. Be open to the grace of God. Be open to the healing that's being offered to restore relationships, to restore wholeness, to bring us back to the full, complete grace and love of God. Amen.